This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2018, held in Harrisonburg, Virginia on March 2 and 3.
Welcome. When I agreed to this, I had no idea what I was agreeing to. I was picturing maybe, I didn't know, 5 or 10 women. I'd never been to one before. My husband has went different times, but I just always stayed home and tended the young ones. But yeah. It's encouraging to see a big group of ladies, some faces I know, some faces I don't. My name is Regina. I live in Greencastle, Pennsylvania. My husband is Darwin. He's having an afternoon talk. We live just about probably 5 miles from Maryland state line, so we're not too far away. We have 6 children, live on a little farmette with several cows and sheep and 4 dogs and 10 German Shepherd puppies. Hopefully they'll soon find good homes. So I grew up in Chambersburg area. I was a girl of a school board dad. Very, very used to having my father leave and go to school board meetings. And I usually knew it would be, well, I'd be sleeping 1, 2 o'clock sometimes in the morning. I'd hear him stumbling up the stair steps. He was on for over 14 years at, I'm not sure exactly, but he would have served on 2 different schools. When Calvary Church got started, my dad was probably one of the main ones that helped to get the new school started at Calvary. So I remember him ordering school desks and filing cabinets and finding teachers and fixing up rooms and getting everything ready. And it seemed so exciting to see a new school start up. Off and on through the years, we boarded school teachers. There's different times at home that we would have had school teachers living with us. So I feel like it has been a lot a part of my life. And then I got married, had our first child, and he was probably in about kindergarten or first grade. And lo and behold, my husband's elected on the school board. So I groaned. I was like, oh, here we go. I know what this is like, long nights alone by myself with my children. So the first 5 years, my husband served as treasurer on the school, and then he had one delightful year break, and then he was elected for another 5-year term. This time he got on as the chairman. So that makes for a very interesting twist on the school board. I don't know if I should move some of these chairs or not. So yes, like I said, I feel like school board and meetings has been a very large part of our life. So the title given today, Keeping Confidentiality, I just noticed on the brochure I was given today, the little subtitle underneath, I wish I would have had been given that earlier. I would have maybe tried to gear my talk a little more, but we'll do what we have here. I did take the liberty to branch out just a little bit, maybe, and if we have time, to look at ways to support our husbands. So we'll see, what for time we have, and maybe we'll talk about ways we can be supportive as his helpmeet. I see a lot older people here. I think probably be better maybe to have some more wise older ladies speaking instead of me. I feel like I'm speaking probably as much to myself as to anyone. I know I am, not probably. So it's a very large, very important subject that we're looking at today. It is something as a wife to a school teacher or principal or chairman, it is something you are going to be faced with, something that you're going to need to learn to deal with. So as part of planning, I sent out an email to different friends of mine whose husbands I knew had been on the board for years, asking different questions to get their thoughts, opinions, and ideas to help me get a more rounded perspective. And so some of what I share today will be from them. So thank you for sharing and being willing to give me your thoughts and your opinions. I appreciate it very much. I also read someone, maybe 2 different friends, mentioned a book called Serving Together by Ellen Erb. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with that book or not. Some of what I have to say today was some thoughts from her book as well. So I want to give her credit. And also a few thoughts with Dorcas Smucker. I don't know if any of you read her blog, but she had a very interesting blog post. And at the end, if we have time, I want to read over it really quickly. She has some interesting humor. So first of all, being confidential, what does confidential mean? When you think about it, how would you describe it? Or what words would you use to describe what we mean when we say confidential? Is something that should be told to whoever wants to know? Usually we think confidential, we think of something that is to be kept secret, or you're entrusted with private or very restricted information. Synonyms for confidential is dependable, trustworthy, reliable. And I thought those words really put the pressure on. If you describe a confidential person, this is the words that we would be describing them with. So am I dependable? Am I trustworthy? Am I reliable? Am I able to keep private and restricted information and not share? And for women, that can be a pretty tall order. We all, at least most of us, love to talk. We love a good chat. We love to have information to share. But when our husbands are on the board, we are now entrusted with a lot of private information. And we should consider it an honor, something that we should be honored, and we don't want to ruin that honor. We are now our husband's, our keeper of his secrets. If our husband needs to worry that everything he shares or tells us, that his personal details will become private or public knowledge, then he cannot feel free to go and do what he needs to do and fulfill the duties he's called to. It'll be a hindrance to him. So we should determine at the outstart that we can be the most trustworthy board member wife out there, one who is very reliable, one that people hopefully will say, well, no use asking her anything because you're not going to get anything out of her. Hopefully that can be said. We also maybe need to be a good actor. We maybe need to master the skill of acting. Very surprised when we hear news that we already knew a long time, but we just kept it in confidence. Like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But of course, being private doesn't mean that you don't need to be friendly, that you can't be sociable, that you can't ever speak. It is okay to discuss school information and policies, things that happen throughout the years. But what we want to look at today is what is talked about among board level, things only known and discussed pretty much on either school teachers, school principal, board level. Confidence has been broken often, and because of it, churches have split, marriages have been ruined, countries have went to war. There's many terrible things that can happen when confidence is or lost in each other. And the same can happen in our schools. If private, touchy information is leaked out, the moral of the whole school can be ruined. You have trust between teachers and school board members, between patrons, that is broken. And when that trust is broken, it can be really hard to regain what was lost. If students know juicy tidbits about another problem student, know all the troubles maybe this certain teacher's facing and has talked about, again, you're going to create a whole new set of problems that normally you wouldn't have had to deal with. So let's go into looking at ways to be confidential. Again, our personalities come into play, and so this may be very easier for some of us, maybe harder for others. Depends if we're normally a very quiet, shy person, or if you're more tend to be outgoing, talkative person. And there's nothing wrong with either of them. It's just going to relate to it in different ways. Studies show that we think only a fraction of the thoughts that we say. So we're going to think lots more words than what we will ever say. But how often do we hear someone say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't think before I spoke, or I shouldn't have said that. So it is a challenge, and it is something sometimes we need to learn and we need to actually work on, is to maybe thinking before we speak. Sometimes the things we see and things we hear are partly out of our control, but what we do have in our control is what we say and what comes out of our mouth. So first of all, if this is something we really struggle with, we can make it a matter of prayer and ask God to help us control our speech and our tongue, and help us to be aware. We can either build up or tear down our husband's effectiveness in his job that he's doing by the way we talk and the things that we may share with friends and wives around us. A quote from Ellen Erb's book, "It takes much longer to build a reputation of being confidential than it does to wipe away years of carefulness with a few idle remarks." I thought that was a really profound statement when you think about it. So what are some areas that we should guard or be confidential in? Specific areas. The first one I thought of was students and their struggles and their behavior. Obviously, that is what is talked about on school board levels, this problem students that you have issues with. There's some students whose names you hear a lot, and then there's other students who just never hear their names. So your chairman husband, if he's chairman, he will probably be the one that will have to deal with a situation. He'll have to maybe talk to the parents. So if I go and tell my friends or other ladies about certain child's problems and the behavior issues they have, maybe if I say something over the supper table, and if your child goes to school the next day and passes on all this fun stuff that he heard, well, guess what? You're having problems. It will devastate the problem child. It will not build up their self-esteem. And you're also going to deeply hurt the parents as well if they find out that you've been talking. Patron families is another one where you need to keep very quiet. Sometimes maybe it's the parents of a student who are creating issues and problems. And if you go and spread the news or tell your friends how the Joneses just don't support the school board and they just don't support the standards and what are they thinking, letting their child wear that to school. And every time a teacher tries to correct their child, why they just have an issue with it, there again, you're not going to create trust and confidence between your school board and your patron families. We also have to be careful we don't let wrong thoughts in our own minds fester by what we hear and by what we see, and then it can cloud our own judgment and feelings toward these patron parents. Maybe there is tension among the school board. Maybe the school board itself is having trouble getting along. They don't agree on certain issues. Maybe a member doesn't want to be a team player, and maybe your husband came home and he just unloaded all his frustrations with you about a certain school board member, and you may be tempted to pass along some of this information, but again, you just may not. You just have to zip your mouth. Nothing would hurt your husband more than if you would share the private conversation and feelings that he has shared with you. Teachers is another area where you have to be very confidential. Sometimes children love to find out all that fun stuff about their teachers. He may overhear your conversation over the supper table or in your car. And if he goes back and the teacher overhears him telling other students what he heard his parents saying, it probably will not endear your child to the teacher very well. In all these cases, when we would share information, it will ruin friendships. It can hurt others. It can even ruin relationships between you and your husband. So we have to keep in mind the few moments of maybe, shouldn't even use the word joy because that's not the right joy, but twisted pleasure, I'll say, and sharing a juicy tidbit about something that happened at school. Is it really worth the damage that it could cause? There again, sometimes we may innocently share info. You thought maybe it was public knowledge, and all of a sudden your husband's like, no, that's not supposed to be out yet. But, ooh, I'm sorry. So do give yourself some grace. One area where it can be very easy to maybe share information is if a teacher is coming back again next year, or if a teacher was hired and she said, yes, I'm going to teach. And it's, for myself, I find it very easy to want to tell my children, oh yeah, your teacher's teaching again next year, or no, they're not going to. But I sort of made it a habit to just not share it, or I specifically ask my husband, is this public knowledge? Am I allowed to say? Most of the times, I like to wait until I hear my own children come home from school, and they tell me, hey mom, do you know Sister Marie's teaching again last year? And I'm like, oh great, I'm glad to know that. And now I know it is truly public knowledge, but it didn't start from me. It's a way you can try to keep things confidential. So what are some ways that we can practice at being confidential? I think one thing we can do is ahead of time set boundaries for ourselves. There will always be those little nosy old ladies who like to come up and just try to find out everything. And so they're going to ask you all kinds of questions. And ahead of time, you need to let yourself, tell yourself what you will answer. If you need to decide ahead of time, think, what will I answer when someone asks this question? Prepare what you could say. Something is simply say, this isn't for me to share, or it isn't my position to say. Or you could say, you need to just talk to the school board about that. So know a little bit boundary line where you will share or where you will direct them to the school board, so you're not caught unawares without an answer. Usually for myself, when I'm caught unawares, that's when I end up blurting information that I really shouldn't have had said. Be careful of those innocent-sounding roundabout questions. Some people are real professionals are just asking these innocent questions, but in roundabout ways that you end up finding yourself giving out information that you really didn't intend to give. So be on guard for that as well. Another area I found we have to be really careful is with our children, because children are really nosy, and maybe some more than others. But that little sweet daughter of yours or the little toe-headed son just might be reading school board notes or opening up emails and reading information that he saw on the computer. Since my mom's not here today to hear me, I'll be honest and say I was one of those sweet little nosy things. Well, maybe not the sweet part, but the nosy part. But when I was younger, I happened to come across my dad's school board folder, and we didn't have email, of course, at that time or texts, but his briefcase, and I happened to open it up and found all these juicy school board notes, and it was so interesting. You found out who got a spanking, and you found out which child was causing so much trouble and which teacher wasn't going to be asked back next year, and that kind of information is just not for a child to know. Nowadays, there are so many more ways to read information, even text messages that come to your phone or WhatsApp. There can be emails and, of course, board notes laying around or notes that were sent home. So put a password on your phone. If you get information, there are ways that you can set up your phone so that your texts do not show. I used to let the first line of my text show, but everything else I had to put my password in. But my children were still having fun reading at least that first little line. Oh, Mom, what did she mean by this or that? So I had to go in my phone and change the settings so that no text. I'm alerted when a text comes, but they cannot read anything. And I constantly keep my password changed. About every month I'm changing it, because children do really have a way of finding out something like that. If your husband tends to leave his notes lay around, be a helpmeet. Pick them up for him. Find a locked filing cabinet drawer if need be to keep such information in. And if you have a computer, your husband, that you emails between school board members come to, make sure it is password protected. And do it well, because again, the older your children get, they're getting smarter and wiser than the rest of us and can figure out such information. Be proactive. Just don't think, well, it's okay, or I don't know how to put a password on my computer, or be proactive. Don't give your children the chance to get into information like that. If you don't know, ask someone who knows how to help you figure it out. If it's a phone conversation, go into your bedroom, walk into your walk-in closet if you have one, if you have to, or go outside. Again, children can stand outside the door and hear things that they're not supposed to hear. If your husband comes home, and oftentimes I'm waiting up for him, so we can sometimes sit at the dining room table or in the living room and get talking and whatnot. And there again, you think the children are in bed sleeping. They should be, but they may not be. There's a chance they could be standing beside the door, with a tin can to their ear, or in the olden days, I used to have friends who laid on the heat vents to hear what was going on down below or what Mom and Dad was saying. I remember as a child, my parents talking downstairs, and I'd slowly creep down the steps, and you could hear some things going on. It was always just so interesting. Sometimes it's innocently done, but we need to help and train our children that, look, this is not what you do. You don't want to eavesdrop. So make sure you're sharing privately where you know no one's going to overhear you. Another way that I have seen Or you can be tempted to maybe give out information. It's something very innocent. It can even be as such as prayer requests that you give at prayer meeting, or maybe even ways that you pray in a prayer group. You can say, "Dear Lord, I just pray for the school board as they deal with Johnny. Please give them wisdom as they help him with his rebellion and his disrespect, and help his parents to be willing to accept the board's decision." I mean, right there, I just gave the whole information about Johnny while I was praying. So there again, keep in mind, be careful what you say. If you want to give a prayer request, keep it vague. You can just say simply to pray for the school and the teachers. That's always a good way to. Or keep it private between you and your husband for very specific prayer. Some friends of mine mentioned that they just prefer not knowing information. So that way, if they are asked questions or if things arise, they don't even know what's going on. So that way that keeps them, they're not even tempted to pass on information. If you have access to your husband's notes or his emails, come through. Maybe if you just don't read them, that can help, especially if you fight with wrong feelings and bitterness and attitudes toward maybe issues that are happening. Innocence in this place can really be bliss, and you can just happily go on your way, not even needing to know. As we mentioned earlier, being confidential doesn't mean that you have to be unfriendly, that you can't have friends or a listening ear. Sometimes we do need to listen to maybe complaints or frustrations from a mom or a fellow school board member's wife or teacher. And in those cases, we need to listen and we need to give them an understanding heart. But be sure and let them know that this will be confidential. Sometimes there can be really raw emotion that can be shown. So promise them that it will stay with you so that they know they can truly share their heart. A truly confident friend is worth more than gold. And a quote by someone, "I regret often that I have spoken, but never that I have been silent." And I think this is some areas that we can keep in mind. So is there any thoughts? What have you found works for you? I'd like to have a little discussion. Check my time here and see where we're at. Is there anything, anybody, or give an example that you'd like to share? Everybody's very confidential today. No trouble about this.
I was very blessed to have a mom and dad who kept things confidential. My dad was a teacher for most of my life, and my husband was a teacher for about 10 years. And I feel like I've done as well as they did, maybe. But it's a blessing to your children to just think that the adults in their life are fairly perfect.
Yes.
Rather than having to know all the details of the things that aren't going right.
And it can be a burden they don't need to hear or have to worry about. Thank you. Yes, I should add, my parents did a good job as well. It was my own sinful nature of me that, yeah.
Somehow about school starts and 3 days in, you get a phone call from a mom and she wants to know what the board's saying about so-and-so. And I said, this is a conversation for the men. Mm-hmm. You need to speak to your husband and my husband. And that didn't work. She landed in on a different teacher, and I was like, no, we can't talk about this. As women, I think it's a big emotion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I need to hang up. We can't talk about it. Honestly, we're a brand new school board on this year. This was 3 days into school, or
wow,
a week into school, but instead of having 3 days, it was a week into school, and I got the school board. It is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had meetings with her, and they said, she twisted all of thing. That was a struggle. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are we the only ones? Are we the only ones? Are there other parents out there? And is this the only parent? But I tried to do my best, but I learned the hard lessons for those things.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing is to simply, like you said, if somebody wants to talk to you, you have the biggest one, and I keep referring them to the man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you were thrown into it right away. That is a hard one. And there again, it can be really hard for me to, I guess I don't know, some people may be easier for me. It could be really hard to just really, like you said, take drastic action to say, look, we need to stop and just hang up. Or just turn and walk away if someone is really being... That can be really hard to do. But sometimes drastic measures may what it would come to.
What really blessed me is we had the board and the staff work together. We had a very supportive group. The men stood up to it. And then later in the school function, when the parent wanted to try to make differences in science among the other parents, she found resistance then too.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so blessed that everybody stood together. But it just felt... because I didn't want to be the person on the other end.
Wow.
You, all of us ladies in here realize that we can very much be the pivotal point.
Right.
Either tearing it down or building it up.
I liked your thought about we can get emotional quicker and worked up, and we can let ourselves get involved. And sometimes it's better if we just stay out of it and not get involved. So I wanted to look a little bit, because I feel like it's so much closely intertwined, but maybe switch gears just a little and look at ways that we can support our husband. There again, it's all sort of closely related. It also can be a lot of different ways you can take it. But I thought it was interesting that the opening leader brought in Queen Esther, because I actually... had thought of her and had her down here as a perfect example of someone who was the wife of the most prominent man in the village. She was the queen. Her husband was the king. And we don't see her sitting by and expecting her to, expecting her husband to attend to just her needs. But she sees a challenge and she rises up to it and she faces it. She sees a threat that her husband wasn't seeing and did not realize. And so she was out to open his eyes to this threat. She took action. She made a plan. And in the end, she saved her family because of it. God gave her a voice, and Queen Esther used it. She wasn't scared to not use it. God created us as helpmeets for our husbands. And with as wives in this position, it can take different shapes and it can take different forms. As a leader's wife, we need to learn to be strong so that our husband can be free to do what he needs to do. If he has to feel like he has to help us with every little aspect of our life, then he does not have the energy left to do what he needs to in other areas. We can't take the attitude and say, well, he's the honest chairman, out of it. I'm out of it. He's going to deal with it. I don't have to do anything. The flip side can be, you think, yay, my husband finally got on the board, and now's our chance to change some stuff around here, and we're going to get this school running like we think we ought to be run. And that is totally the wrong attitude as well. So where's a good middle ground as Christian wives? And the way we can pattern ourselves sort of the way Queen Esther did as a good example. I would say, first off, our attitude can be a lot. I remember back to the days when my children were younger. I still have a 4-year-old or 3-year-old, but it makes a difference when you have a 5, 4, 3 or baby, and your husband comes home and eats a few bites to eat, and he hurries off out the door to board meeting, and your day had already been full of squabbles and crying, and you think, now I have a whole evening alone yet. And it can be really hard to not get bitter or feel resentful. We can choose to wallow in self-pity and put our husbands on a guilt trip before he goes out the door. We can say, it's just not fair, you're never home. And I may as well be a widow because you're married to the school and I just don't see anything of you. And let me quickly add that these feelings and thoughts in themselves are not really wrong. Finally, we are women and we are emotional beings. And it is okay to feel lonely and discouraged and to want our husbands. But finally, if we let these feelings control us and take over and just totally ruin our evening and ruin our husband's evening, that is where it can turn into something that is not going to be beneficial. Our evening, our attitude will make a huge difference on how our evening goes, and it will rub off onto our children. They can pick up on those feelings as well. And our husband, as he goes out the door and goes to board meeting, if he left a very upset, disgruntled wife at home, do you think he can go to board meeting and think about all the issues and deal with there if his mind is dealing and feeling bad about how his wife is feeling? If he knows that he's going to come home and she's probably going to be in bed on the far side as she can get, and she'll be like, "You're finally home, good night." It's not going to make for a confident husband who's going to be able to feel confident in his abilities. Ellen Erb quoted in her book, "A man who is joyfully honored at home has greater potential for success away from home." And I thought that was so very true. So I asked different of my friends again in my email survey how they like to spend evenings when their husbands are gone, whether they have school board meeting or staff meeting, whatever it could be. So here's some of their answers. Take the children to the park, maybe with another school board wife and her children, and let their children play together and have a snack. Do a craft project with your children. Maybe you can make cookies for something special sitting on the table for when dad gets home. Go to the ice cream store and get ice cream cones. Or maybe if your grandparents live close, you could go spend the evening, go visit them or some other older people in the community. One way I personally liked whenever my husband was gone was try to get the children to bed early. That was easier to do when they're younger. Now that they're getting older, it can be a lot harder to do. But I knew if I could get them to bed, maybe by 9 o'clock, I would have maybe an hour, 2 whole hours by myself, quiet time. I could enjoy reading or spending some time doing some writing or working on projects that I wanted to get done. Also, as a way to keep it special, sometimes I would dig into the bottom drawer of my dresser and dig out some of those things that hadn't been used since maybe honeymoon days. And I'll give you a secret. If your husband knows that he might have a wife up waiting for him, he might just cut that board meeting short so he can hurry back home. It doesn't always work. But it's a way to make it an exciting evening for everybody. And it also can be a great way to be a great de-stressor after a stressful meeting. We need to be strong, step up to the plate, and do what needs done. Queen Esther didn't hesitate. She saw what needed done. She didn't whip out and think, "Oh, I could never do that. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough." But she was out to be the supportive and to save her family. So what can we do to lighten our husband's loads? Part of our job sometimes, there can be things that the wife has to take care of, such as making sure the hot lunch schedule gets filled out. Maybe you have to call moms and try to convince them to sign up, but that's part of your job, even though it's not fun. Or maybe you need to get the school picnic together, plan what needs brought. Maybe it's up to you to email the moms and figure out how much needs to be brought. And if you feel like this is something you just don't excel in, it's not your talent, find a friend or maybe a sister, someone who can help you figure out if you have 100 people or 200 people coming, how much fruit salad you'll need and how much chicken you need to buy. Sometimes if you have a snack after parent-teacher meeting, it falls in your shoes to see that snack is there, either making it yourself or having other school board members telling them what to bring. We had some single boys living by themselves that were teaching, and so the past 2 years we made out a meal schedule so that they would have some 2 nights a week have food sent home with them from school. So there again, it was lining up a schedule and sending out emails to all the moms, and so that the boys would have their food. And that's something that we as wives can take care of. If we don't get it done or always forget or feel like we can't do it, then it can become a burden to our husband. It's just one more thing that he has to see that gets done. Another way that we can be as Queen Esther is be a mediator. Sometimes we need to be our husband's ears. And sometimes we have to know when he needs to maybe know what you heard or when it's just something that you need to filter out and not bother him about. That's sometimes where we need to use wisdom and knowing if it's something he needs to hear that we need to share. Maybe sometimes as your husband's talking about different things that's happening, maybe you're seeing a side of it that he's not seeing. Maybe you see that he's not quite understanding a situation, right? Especially maybe if it involves girl students or women teachers, and he may not be quite understanding where they're coming from. I think we can be, as a helpmeet to our husband, this is, if we have the right humble spirit, we can maybe help him see the situation, how a woman would view it or how a girl's looking at it. Science has shown that what we already know, men and women think completely different. So sometimes I think we as our wives can help them understand how the situation can look to us. Again, we need to be very respectful when we do this. And as Queen Esther, use prayer maybe before we approach our husband. That situation that happened several years ago in our school, there was a young teenage girl and it was found out she was doing some inappropriate things, writing some inappropriate letters. And from a man's point of view, it was going to be dealt with quickly and sternly and swiftly. But in my heart, as I viewed the situation, I knew she came from a less than ideal home life. There was not good relationship between her parents and a lot in the family. Different things going on. And in her young, tender years, I just felt like it was her way of longing for love and acceptance. And I felt like a harsh action would not bring about the redemption the board was looking for. So I talked to my husband, tried to help him see how, as a young teenage girl, how she could be thinking and viewing, how she could be feeling as this tender teenager. I wasn't that far removed from my teenage years, and so you can sort of remember what it's like. So my husband appreciated for me sharing, and he did decide to extend grace to the girl. And then months later, the mother actually came to my husband and thanked him with tears in her eyes for being understanding and for showing compassion to her daughter. So I feel this is one way we as wives can be a support and help our husbands. There was another situation with a teacher that was not dealing with things probably the way she should have. There again, she was young. She did not come from an ideal home life. My husband and the board was very frustrated. I think they were ready just to say, get out of here, you're done. There again, I just sort of shared some thoughts and feelings, how a young girl, coming from what the situation she did. So they decided to give her one more chance, one more try, and she did change. She did make a difference, and she turned out to be a very supportive teacher. Then there are areas where we do just need to be quiet. We may not agree. We may feel like maybe our husbands aren't maybe making the decision we think ought to be made, but finally we need to trust them, what he decides. Finally, the final decision is up to him. And if we're determined to make him change and we flap our wings and we squawk in front of his hay face, we are going to be hindering our husband and keeping him from doing the work that God wants him to do. There again, it takes a lot of wisdom and grace and lots of prayers. Sometimes supporting our husband may mean that we may lose friendships. Sometimes when your husbands are in leaders of position, and there may be incidents where they need to take some hard, drastic action, and maybe it is with students or children from friends of ours, and that's where it can get really hard and can get really sticky. If he needs to expel a boy from using bad language, or maybe they make the decision to have a child repeat a grade, or maybe some things were going on and they, some punishment of some sort was given, and we may feel coldness come between a friendship, between maybe the mom. We can feel that there's a pulling away, and it can hurt. It's no fun. And I don't like my husband to have to do this dirty work. He really is a really nice guy. I don't want him looking, being the bad guy, or the students fearing when they walk up, here comes the school board chairman, we better behave ourselves. don't want that to have to be the way it is. But sometimes, in leaders of position of authority, that is what you have to face. And your husband needs to feel your full support behind him, even maybe if you lose friendships over it. Maybe you don't totally agree with it, but you need to feel, he needs to feel your full support. And in times like this, this is when you need to lift him up with lots of extra prayer, which brings me to another point, and that is pray for your husband a lot. That is one of the best ways that we can support our husband. And let him know you're praying, whether you write a little note and tuck into a school board folder. Maybe you send him a text as he's on his way to a difficult meeting. Let him know that you're praying for him and that you're thinking about him. Behind every successful man is usually a praying wife. And then there are some little things that you can do. You can give him a fresh cup of coffee before he goes out the door. You could maybe give him a shoulder rub or neck massage if he's feeling stressed and tight. Maybe if he bakes cookies that day, send a plate along to the school board members or stop by with some coffee and donuts to literally sweeten up the meeting if that's what needs to happen. Just different ways that we can help support him in his job. And then we have just feel like, how do we survive this? It goes on and things happen. Sometimes it's really hard issues. How can we as women just survive it all? And I think lots of laughter is a one. Keep humor, keep joy. Laugh in the cases where you can laugh. Lots of prayers for grace, for wisdom. And then I think each person needs to find that certain friend that you can just totally unload to. Maybe it's a sister or someone in a complete different area, complete different church group. Someone you can just pour out and vent your frustrations and your anger, if that's what you're feeling. She needs to be a wise and supportive person. Someone who can tell you, look, you're overreacting. You need to get over it. Or maybe she'll give you a sympathizing ear and give you a big hug and say, I'm sorry that you have to go through this. Maybe she'll tell you to go out and eat a bunch of chocolate. You're a big girl. You can survive. You can do this. So, yeah, I'd encourage you to find that friend who can help support you as you support your husband. Because after all, we are married to the most important man, so we need to go and be a queen to our king. And Queen Esther and supported her husband. So just a few fun things I thought I would read that I got off of Dorcas Smucker's blog, and I'm sorry if you've already read it. She says, in preparation for the talks, I had asked for ideas for completing this statement. You know you're married to a principal or a pastor when? And this was some of her answers along with some other people's. You know you're married to them when? You know at least three people who are afraid of your husband and shouldn't be. And three more that aren't, but you wish they were. You've been in groups where everyone was discussing a situation and you knew more than anyone, but you couldn't say a word. When it's snowing and your husband says, oh, it's not that slick out there. I think we can have school. And you remind him there are 16-year-old drivers that are driving their younger siblings to school. And that was me this year. This first year my 16-year-old drove to school. So you definitely think about those snowy roads quicker. You tend to have your babies in late spring, about 9 months after the most stressful time of the year. You have a section in your recipe notebook for how much pizza and pop to buy for honor roll students and which flavors for parties. You've driven a van full of wild children to the museum and to the mountains or to wherever, waterfalls. You know which students cheat and lie. You put the children to bed by yourselves. You're expected to do 100 jobs for free just because your husband is in that position. You get to have your husband sit beside you during an entire church service, and this is next thing to a date. Or if you're going to a funeral, you finally have it, or go to the program today, and it feels like a date. If 75% of what you know you aren't allowed to say, so you sit up late at night and write really bad stories under the guise of fiction novels, and then you feed them through the shredder in the morning. And that's a great way to get it off your chest, and you're keeping it confidential. So that's pretty much what I had. Is there any thoughts or comments I'd like for you all to share. Okay. How much do you talk to other school board member wise? Anybody have any thoughts?
I would just think that know your own weaknesses and their weaknesses, because it can be helpful, but can also really soon get into just getting each other worked up about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it can be an encouraging thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's any answers, but that's
you're right. It is someone else that does know the situation, and sometimes it can be helpful. Any other thoughts? Yes.
I was just going to say, in relation to listening to a parent, is there a time to listen and say, well, what I'm hearing from you is this, or if I'm understanding you correctly, that you mean this, and then not promise that you'll be able to do anything about it, but just, I heard you,
mm-hmm.
and show them that you care. They are feeling emotional, like they're just misunderstood.
Right. I think that's a very good answer. I don't know if you all heard that. She said if there's a situation a parent shares, to tell them, to maybe repeat it after them, to make sure you're understanding what they're saying, and tell them that you will hear it and consider it. You don't know if you can give them an answer back, but at least they know that their voice is being heard and just not being brushed off. Thanks, I think that's a good one.
Just an idea for school board times. Our school board runs the meeting from 4 to 6.
Okay.
So it gives us an evening. Doesn't often put later than 6.
How about that? That's interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, that is nice. Yes, that keeps your evening free. So maybe you can all go home and convince your husband to switch it from 4 to 6. Set it from 6 to 11 or 12. Well, if nobody has anything else to share, that's all I had. Thanks a lot for coming.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.